Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is a pleasure to be with you. And I know I say that every episode. Folks, it's an absolute pleasure to be with you. For the 11th time in the history of the Grizzlies franchise, we are on a seven-game winning streak. That is correct. A seven-game winning streak. That's where the Grizzlies stand. A team that started out 2-6 is now 9-6 and in sole possession of first place in the Southwest Division. And this was such a momentous occasion. I couldn't sit there and celebrate it just by myself or with one other person. I've got to do it with two other people. And I'm very happy to introduce these two people. Both are members of GBB. Both are the co-hosts of the 3&D podcast. And I am so excited to introduce them. The first is my former podcast host over at 3&D. One of the guys who I have loved getting to know over the past few years. His name is Justin Lewis. One of the funnest people I've ever debated basketball with, but just in general, an overall great guy to talk basketball with. Justin, how are you tonight, sir?
I am good. I just have some advice for you. You should probably grow some facial hair.
You think I should grow some facial hair?
I think you should grow a beard.
Why do you think I should grow a beard? Listen, the thing is about this is that I can't sit here and grow a beard for more than 24 hours without it starting to itch. I'm a big wuss when it comes to that. So I'm going to deny your advice. But thank you for your...
I'm used to that. I'm used to you denying my advice.
The other is the co-host from the 3&D podcast. My first opportunity, but a very, very exciting opportunity, in my opinion. The first time I've been able to do a podcast with Mr. Ben Hogan. Ben, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. Don't listen to Justin. It's okay. I can't grow a beard, so...
It's fine. It's fine. You don't want to hide this smile. And there's plenty to smile about. But the reason that I wanted to invite both Ben and Justin on is, first off, it's been a while since I've been able to talk with Justin. As I mentioned, the first time I've talked with Ben. But it's just going to be fun to sit here and really dive into the success that is the Memphis Grizzlies now. And we'll just, before we get into the subjects at hand, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSCC, podcast, wherever you can find podcasts. Later on in the episode, we'll let you know where to find Justin and Ben. But before we get into the subjects, hey guys, let's just get your initial reactions. The team that we cheer for is playing the best basketball they've arguably played in years, or at least since last January.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, I was going to let Justin go there, but okay, I'll take it first then. I mean, it's a lot of fun to watch. I didn't expect to see this. You know, you expect to see him put together for two or three games at a time, maybe, you know, get that, get some sort of win streak going, but I did not expect them to see them gel this quickly, especially with the plugging and playing of lineups. You know, you've had guys out different parts of the season and they're all figuring out how to play together. And it's just, it's fun to watch. And it's, you know, it's kind of like you're growing with this team. Like you're watching them develop, you're watching them grow up in front of your eyes, and it's just fun to cheer for. And finally, it feels like everyone else is kind of taking notice of it too.
Yeah, for me, it's nice to have aesthetically pleasing basketball from my favorite team, because my favorite team back when Memphis was really, really bad was the Phoenix Suns. The Steve Nash, Sean Marion, Amari Stoudemire, that 7 seconds or less offense, which was a lot of fun to watch. And then the grit and grind era came. And, yeah, it's fun to root for your team, and you go to war with them. But it wasn't that much fun to watch. Like, sit there and watch Zebo and Gasol just bang on people and Tony Allen do it. I mean, Tony Allen was fun to watch. But as terrible as we were shooting the three, defending the three, then we get this team with probably the most talented player that the franchise has ever had in Ja Morant. I mean, he literally does stuff that I laugh when he does it, because I'm just in just complete shock and disbelief at what this guy does on the floor every time he does it. I don't think I've ever been as excited about the future of a team that I root for than I am right now with the Memphis Grizzlies.
I don't think you could have put it any better way. Like, that is exactly the truth. But Ben, did you hear he was a fan of Steve Nash and a Mike D'Antoni led team? I'm pretty confident he's got a Nets shirt on under that Memphis Grizzlies hoodie right now. I'd be willing to bet.
I'm not gonna lie, I was a Sixers fan before the Grizzlies, so I got some Iverson jerseys up in my closet. So yeah, I get it.
Nothing wrong with enjoying good basketball. But the thing about it is this is like, you know, like Justin said, you know, the pleasing style of play that they're playing with, the offensive efficiency that they played with over the past two games, but also the fact that they're showing the potential that, you know, you're seeing more frequently is so exciting. And the big thing for me, besides the depth, is the fact that this is now four straight games in which the Grizzlies have won. Ja Morant hasn't scored 20 points in any of those games. That's what's so exciting, is that this team, the legitimacy of this offense is there even when Ja is not sitting there scoring 25 or more points a night.
Yeah, you felt after the first game of the season that you thought Ja was going to have to do that every game if the Grizzlies were going to have a chance of contending for a playoff spot. And everybody stepped up. And just a different guy every night. You know, tonight it was Gorgui Dieng was the leading scorer. Previous game, it was D'Anthony Melton. It's just guys that you don't expect coming through and doing what they need to do to get it done. And then everybody's pitching in. I think every Grizzly had an assist. Every Grizzly but Dylan Brooks had a rebound. They all played, 20-plus minutes. And then everybody but Jitty had scored in double digits. And it just feels like it's an entire team effort. When it comes down to it, we will see. I think Ja Morant's going to be the guy that, you know, crunch time, if they need a bucket, he will be the one to go to. But he didn't have to. Like, he just doesn't have to right now. And it's great because I think he may have come back a little too early. And he doesn't have to put too much pressure on himself. He can just play loose. And it's just letting the game come to him. And I think that's going to help in his development just as much as, you know, if he was having to try and score 40 every night.
Yeah, just think about the built-in early season rest that he's going to keep getting if we can keep winning by 20. And in the fourth quarter, he doesn't have to go and be one of the top fourth quarter scorers in the NBA like he was last year in his rookie season. Like, he doesn't have to go out there and put that. I mean, he played 22 minutes a night because he didn't have to play more than that. And if his numbers take some hit, but we're winning games, he's not the type of player that's going to care about that. Like, he's here to do what's best for this group, because I genuinely believe that these guys love being with each other. I watched a documentary on Netflix that had Doc Rivers on the first episode, and it was a coach's game plan or something like that. And he brought up an African theme called Ubuntu, which is we're only as good as we are together. Like, individually, we're only as good as everybody is together. And if I, you know, I know Taylor Jenkins is in the locker room preaching the philosophy of Ubuntu, but it seems like that's a natural thing for this team. Like, they want each other to succeed. They're hyping each other up on the bench. Somebody said something to me yesterday. I hate how they just act fools on the bench. I was like, no, man, like, you don't understand how important bench energy really is, because me as a coach early this season, we were losing left and right and the bench was dead. Because they were more worried about when they were going to get in and get their moment rather than rooting for what's best for their teammate while they were on the floor and then doing their best when they got in. And this team, they're there for each other. And I think it's a phenomenal culture and atmosphere that's being built in Memphis right now.
And it's such a layered, you know, level, so many layered levels of positivity when it comes to this team. You've got a group of guys who love being on the basketball court, for one. You got a group of guys who love being on the basketball court with the rest of the players on the team for another. And then you have the confidence that each of these players have in each other and knowing that when they play together, they're playing their best brand of basketball. And that really shines through and I think really adds value to this team that gives them a chance against anybody. But of course, you know, today also was kind of momentous because we also came to learn of a bit of news when it came to Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr. It seems like that things have kind of been put off for a month. We were expecting hopefully to have both of them, you know, a month ago around this time, around the start of February. Now it seems like it may be towards the end of February before we have them. Your overall reaction to that, Ben and Justin, but also, you know, just the encouragement that you get that, hey, you know, after these two games, we're going to be all right without them.
Yeah, and that was my thought. I mean, I said, and last week on Grizzly Bear Blues during the roundtables, I said my biggest disappointment so far this year was pretty much like the unknown around Justice and Jaren. It was like every time you asked, it was a pretty vague answer. Like soon, sooner, we don't know yet. You know, it just kept going and going. And at least today we got a little bit of clarity, we hope, on their future. And I say just, you know, don't rush it. I mean, the way these guys are playing right now, It's just going to make Taylor Jenkins' job harder too. He's going to have to figure out who's losing minutes. And right now it's, you know, you have 10 guys, 11 guys that they've played and earned their minutes. I know Justin will argue that one player in particular has, you know, earned fewer minutes. But you got to figure that out as well. And I think eventually they'll work themselves out. But the way the team's playing right now, you don't need to rush them back. And also it also means that, you know, the second set of the season is going to start, I guess, mid-March. And it wouldn't surprise me if we didn't see them until after the All-Star break or whatever they're doing there. And I think that would be great, honestly, because it gives you, even if you don't make any trades at the trade deadline, Bobby Marks pointed out, it's like you're getting two new players that are, you know, Jaren Jackson's your second franchise guy and Justice Winslow. We'll see what we're going to get with him, but you know, you're not really losing anything when he comes back. And I just think it's great that they finally gave some sort of answer on when they will be coming back.
Is this not like a little weird the way that this is being handled, at least through PR? Like, we're not getting a timetable at all on either one of these guys. And now they want to say that this week and a half shutdown in COVID has just completely pushed back. I don't believe that at all, because they were allowed to do one-on-one player workouts, one coach, one player. So why couldn't they have been up there getting their conditioning in? Why did they have to take a week and a half off from their conditioning and their rehab? And then we were told that Justice early could have been back, like even before 2021 started. And then Jaren was a possible target date at MLK. And this is obviously all rumor and all talk, but like these were some people that had some connection to the franchise that, you know, you usually trust what they say. But now it's, oh, we're going to begin ramping up or sometime this month. Can they just not be real with us and just tell us like, hey, look, like we're not bringing these guys back. There's no reason for us to, like, we're just going to sit Jaren for the year. Like, I could see that happen. I could see them just like dragging this out with Jaren and just protecting him, because this isn't our window, period. It's not. And it's only our window if like LeBron tears an ACL and then Kawhi Leonard goes and tears two of them. Like, we're not winning this year. We're probably not going to win it next year. Like, our window is probably 3 to 4 years down the road. So why would we bring back either one of these young players to push it? Do I want to see him? Absolutely. Think about how good we would be with Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr. With this roster. I just think it's a little odd how it's being handled. I think it's a little odd at how long this is taking. I understand that they opted with a surgery that takes longer to recover with Jaren. He didn't have the meniscus removed. He had it repaired. And then Winslow's is apparently some like one out of a million freak accident with his hip. And if he said that it happened when he went to go plant to dribble, that is kind of scary, because that means if it can happen again just from going to plant to dribble, you want to be sure that he's okay. But I don't want to hear that the quarantine they just went on backed everything up, because they could have been there doing one-on-one rehab.
I agree. It certainly brings into question, you know, the details that were there. You know, were they going to be out this long from the beginning? You know, has there been a delay in things due to conditioning? You know, I agree with Justin. You can be a bit skeptical of it. At the end of the day, you know, I'm glad that they're taking the approach that they are, being safe rather than sorry. I do think that we see them at some point this year for, you know, no other reason but the fact that I just don't think Justin or Jaren are going to be happy at all to sit on the bench. Though I get the understanding of why you would, just to make sure they're healthy. But you know, hopefully they certainly will, you know, continue to get healthy. But one thing that we all hope will continue is the success that the Grizzlies are finding on the court. Coming up, me, Justice, and I'm going to call you Justice five more times this podcast. Me, Justin, and Ben, we're going to talk about the month of February and going to focus on the one thing each of us really thinks is important for this Grizzlies team to have emerge about their present and future going forward. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, here with the co-hosts of the 3&D podcast over at the Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network, the wonderful Justin Timberlake. Timberfake. No, what was it? Timberfake. Justin Lewis, as well as the amazing Ben Hogan. All joking aside, though, so I wanted to kind of throw out a theme here for this second segment because I think it's going to be fun to get three different perspectives that I feel that each of us has. That is the most important thing other than the health of our players. The most important thing that you want to see emerge about this Grizzlies team, roster, whatever it may be. Just want to get the one most important thing you want to see emerge for this franchise this month. And Ben, we'll start with you.
I think it's positioning in the Western Conference and the division upcoming. You've only played, I think, three games in conference, maybe four games so far this week, upcoming week. You got Houston, New Orleans, and then you got New Orleans later on in the month. You got Dallas. You got another game against Houston. You play better teams, it feels like, coming up. And you kind of can position yourself in the West and kind of figure out, okay, I know we're not in the window of being, you know, top tier, but are the Grizzlies a top four? Are they a contender to possibly make it out of the first round of the playoffs? Or are they going to be a team that second half of the season, they're trying to position themselves to just make it into the playoffs? And I just think that's important coming up, as well as I'm going to give two quick answers right here. The other one is minutes. You got to kind of figure out the rotation, the minutes, everything like that, because everybody's playing well. And if Justice and Jaren come back, you got to figure out when to put them in. Grayson's returning. Jonas is returning. I mean, right now we had 10 guys. You got to have 12 guys possibly tomorrow night. You got to figure something out. Coach Jenkins has done a good job of it, but to be honest, it's been kind of easy when you're blowing teams out. When it comes to closer games, he's going to have to figure out the best guys to have at the end of the game. He did a great job against Phoenix, but we hadn't had to see that against San Antonio these past two games. It'll just be interesting, I think, to see how Coach Taylor Jenkins figures it out going on from here.
I said one. I didn't say two. I said one thing, not two things, Ben. I'm just kidding.
I can give you three if you want. No, I'm just kidding.
But figuring out the minutes as well, and I agree with you. I mentioned a few in several segments on this show that this opening, I thought that from the MLK game through today's game, February 1st, was going to be the most important stretch for the Grizzlies. But four out of five divisional games coming off the hiatus, that is critical. And I agree with you completely. So many important games. So great points from you. Justin, what do you think?
Yeah. For me, one comment on the rotations. So you've got four guys that are rotation players right now that are out. You know that Jenkins is comfortable playing an 11-man rotation. So you've got to find three out of this rotation that aren't going to be in it any longer if you're going to stick with 11-man rotation. And we can all agree that as much as we love Conchar and as positive an impact he has on the floor every time he's out there, like, he's the obvious one out. So now you got two more guys that got to come out of the rotation. Well, if you're going to bring back Valanciunas, then you don't need Gorgui Dieng in the rotation anymore. So that one's out. So now it comes down to what wing player is not going to play? Or are you going to have to go a 12-man rotation at that point? Because you're not sitting Bane. He's a sniper. You're not sitting Melton. You're not sitting Grayson. I think the tendency may go to – I guess if I had to pick a guy who's going to end up being the odd man out, it could be Grayson, because he seems to be more of the hot cold type player out of that group. Melton's always going to give you something defensively. He didn't earn that nickname, Mr. Do Something, for nothing. So that's going to be interesting. But for me, it's going to be how the roster shakes up to solve this rotation problem. And we just got done talking about on the 3&D podcast. For me, as much as I love Jonas Valanciunas, I think he has become expendable. I've never thought that he was a part of the championship contending version of this team. He wasn't going to be around in that window. I always thought that he would be traded as an expiring contract, and he'd be used as an asset. You have three very tradable contracts on this team: Valanciunas, Gorgui Dieng, and Dylan Brooks. And I'm not saying Dylan Brooks because everybody knows how I feel about him. He is in that $10 million range, which is a very, very tradable contract, one that very often gets tossed in to make deals happen. I'm interested to see, with the play of Tillman and even the play of Gorgui, he fits what this team is doing a little bit better than Valanciunas does with the ability to spread the floor. So for me in February, with players being able to be traded on these offseason contracts, I think tomorrow, I'll be watching to see how they shake this roster up, either in a one major trade with a big name like Valanciunas or something minor with a wing player, just to help Jenkins figure out this rotation.
Yep, I kind of feed off that a little bit. My one thing is the most valuable talents on this Grizzlies roster consistently stepping up, especially when we get Jonas and Jaren and Justice back. You know, you've got now, like, you know, both of y'all have alluded to, 13 to 14 guys who make sense to play. But you're eventually going to, you know, even without a trade, you're going to have to reduce that to 10 or 11. And so we know that Coach Jenkins has his preferences. You see that with Grayson Allen. You see that with Dylan Brooks. But I don't think that Melton is going to continue to play like he is. But if he becomes a legitimate catch-and-shoot threat, you're not taking Bane out of the rotation because he's the best shooter at the one area of need that you have that is very important. And Melton, of all those two guards, is the most advantageous player with his defense and hopefully improving offense. But the best talents emerging, not only to solidify themselves as a core, but also potentially making someone like a Dylan Brooks in a market with contenders who need wing defenders who have some sensibility on offense, that type of thing, allowing for your best players to step up, showing who's expendable, and making it clear for this franchise to know who it makes sense to keep for the future. And though they're in a season where I don't think they really do anything big, you kind of have an idea going into the offseason at the latest of who becomes expendable to really use to help you improve this team going forward. So I do agree with you. I do think that it comes down to the rotation and basically the best talents emerging.
I agree on that part. And it's just like, I'm trying to see, like, with Dylan, I know he's the polarizing player that everybody talks about, but I agree with you on the fact that he's probably better suited as being a guy that comes off the bench for another team as a defensive stopper and a guy that can knock down shots possibly, you know, sometimes. But I think he's better suited off the bench somewhere. And I don't necessarily think that Taylor Jenkins is going to not start Dylan Brooks. He likes Dylan Brooks. And I think he's going to start him. And we discussed on 3&D podcast that, like, maybe, you know, we got the DMP coach's decision from Melton. Maybe cut Dylan's minutes down 16 minutes, 18 minutes, 14 minutes and see how he responds, because we saw how Melton responded. He's had two fantastic games against San Antonio, and see if Dylan responds. And if not, you know, that may be the one thing that you can do to see exactly where he is when it comes to this roster.
Yeah, I agree. At the end of the day, you know, I don't know if I'll be put in the category, you know, with Justin's opinion of Dylan Brooks, but I'll go ahead and say it. The emerging defense of Dylan Brooks on the contract that he has, his best value is off the bench. It's off the bench for another team as being a trade piece to go get an upgrade that you could put next to Ja and then make your two guards off the bench, Melton and Bane. That's my opinion. It's nothing against Dylan Brooks. In terms of how he plays, he is who he is, but I think that he is a very sensible trade piece that can do a lot of good for contenders right now. But I think its best value to the Grizzlies is to use to get a talent that will allow for them to have an upgrade when they're truly close to contention a few years from now. But the other thing about it is this, is that, you know, we talk about players emerging, the best players on this roster emerging. But one of the best ways for them to do that is to find duos that really make sense together. Coming up, I'm going to talk with Justice and Ben about the most anticipated pairings of players that they want to see until some of the Grizzlies' best talent return here on Locked On Grizzlies. All right, guys. So, you know, we're talking about a pair of players. I don't understand what's so funny. But Ben, go ahead.
Will you quit calling me Justice, man? Do you have a man crush on Winslow? Like, what the freak is going on?
I called you Justin. I just called you Justin.
No, you didn't. I called you Justin.
No, I said Justice when they came back. All right. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep calling it Justice. I don't know. I'm trying to do myself justice as to why I invited you on this podcast. That's why I'm doing it. But all joking aside, so with Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr. as a duo that everybody is anticipating coming back, Justin and Ben, the thing that I want to ask y'all is the duo of players that you are the most excited to see play together over the next month. You can't include Ja because that's basically a cheat code answer. But the duo of players that you are most excited to see play together over the next few weeks.
Well, you said the next few weeks. I'm gonna have to push ahead to Justin on this. My answer was gonna be Jaren and Tillman, because we're already trying to trade Jonas, and we don't know if Jaren and Xavier Tillman can play with each other yet. We haven't seen them play with each other. I'm not saying they can't play with each other, but we don't know.
They did in college.
Do what?
They did in college.
Yeah, but I'm still, can they play with each other in the NBA? Like, it's different. It's a different game, man. You got bigger. Come on, man. Yeah.
I think he's telling you to be quiet, Justice.
Oh, God.
It's different. It's a little different. Can they play each other in the NBA, with each other in the NBA against, you know, big centers? Like, when you go up against a Karl Anthony Towns or a Jokic, or, you know, when you got guys like that you're playing, that's what I'm referring to. Thank you, Justice. I'll let you take over for now, and I'll think of a pair of players for the next month or so that I want to see play together.
All right. So my duo that I want to see the next few weeks in February would be Dylan Brooks on the bench. No? Then how about Dylan Brooks and LeBron James?
The silent reaction to both of those attempts at humor is doing the, you know, clarification that you're not doing justice to comedy right now. So,
okay. I'd have to say probably Grayson and D'Anthony together, just because I believe at some point that Desmond Bane's going to be a starter. Just because of his ability to space the floor next to Morant. So we need to see if a Melton and Allen bench unit really does work together, because if you think about it, they've not played too much together because Grayson was starting next to DB for a little while Anderson was starting at the four. And then we're on health protocols with Melton for a little while, and then Grayson rolls the ankle for a game, and then Melton is DNPCD, and now Grayson's out. So, like, these guys really haven't shared the floor that much together. But if I'm not mistaken, our number one lineup is one that does feature Melton and Allen and Tillman in that lineup. And I think they're like a plus 57 in like 12 minutes played together. And that's net 100 possessions. So I just want to see more of those two guys, because both of them are secondary playmakers. If Melton keeps shooting the way that he does and Allen comes back shooting the way that he was, that's a fun little duo to be able to watch.
And could you imagine the duo of D'Anthony and Grayson playing together, and with Melton shooting like he is and Grayson with the potential that he has? I mean, if those two were on the court shooting, you could say that three-point line is certainly Melton.
Ben? Yeah,
there you go.
You're gonna laugh at that crap.
Come on.
I mean, you are both old watching wrestling right now. That's what it is.
Wrestling's over. Come on.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do it, you could have said Dylan and Tyus, because then at least he would send Dylan from the bench, like getting bench minutes. I don't know. Your Dylan jokes sucked.
Dylan and Tyus actually were second on my list, because if the Grizzlies could ever have those two get their three-point shots back in routine, it's going to be amazing. But the duo that I am still excited to see and want to continue to see is the duo that is going to be manning, you know, our second unit once we're fully healthy in terms of our front court. That is Xavier Tillman and Brandon Clark. You have seen them over the past few games against the best talents on the court, Tobias Harris. You've seen Xavier Tillman steal the ball from D'Angelo Russell and Chris Paul one-on-one, but it's the defensive potential Tillman anchoring the paint with Brandon Clark being able to switch on different players on the perimeter, it's absolutely unbelievable what they can do with their size as a combination. And obviously their offense as well. Sure, Tillman may not be great in any one statistical category, but he's an absolute walking positive, one of the best guaranteed young positives when he's on the court in the NBA. And of course, Brandon Clark is starting to emerge as he did last year. He seems to have gotten his rhythm back and he's back to what he was. So I think that that duo, even though it's going to be, back on the bench once our starters are there. But if you can see what they're doing now as starters against other starting lineups, just imagine what they're going to do against second units. And that's why I'm so excited to see what they potentially could do. So, yeah, just that's the thing. You've got three different potential duos that you could certainly discuss. But again, you see like five or six different names in these three duos. That just goes to show you the best asset of this team right now is its depth.
If I have to choose one that I want to watch, it's very similar to yours. It does include Brandon Clark, but it's also, I think, Desmond Bane. That once, if Jaren and Justice do return, I think the way that Clark's attacking the paint, if he's doing that and defenses are crashing down on him, Bane's wide open there, and I just want to see their chemistry to get better, because those are going to be the guys that you're going to rely on a lot for points off the bench once Jaren and Justice, if Jaren and Justice do come back this season.
Well, think about that play that Bane made tonight where he drove and wrapped around, dished it to Tillman in the paint for a layup rookie to rookie. Like, if he can do that to Tillman or to Gorgie or to Clark on a regular basis, I think even I continue to underrate Bane's playmaking ability off the dribble because his dribble's not tight. Like, his dribble needs a lot of work, but he doesn't turn over very much off the dribble. And he does make plays happen. He's proving, like Grayson Allen, he's more than a spot up 3-point sniper. Like, he can do some stuff off the dribble and make plays. So I'm with you on seeing Bane and Clark, because they will be primary bench guys for this season, I believe.
All right. So a bit of an over under here for both of y'all. Lightning round real quick, three questions just to have fun. All right, Ben, we'll start with you, and Justin, you next after him. Over under 50% confidence level, the Grizzlies win the Southwest Division.
I'm gonna go over because they beat San Antonio, and I think that they're just gonna get stronger as the season goes on. And I don't necessarily see another team that is playing as good of basketball. And I don't know if Houston can necessarily get it. I just think that the Grizzlies are the best team in the conference right now. In the division.
Justin? I'll have to go under here because Luka is still Luka, and Rick Carlisle is still Rick Carlisle. And I think Houston might be legit if they can stay healthy. I think they surpassed us tonight as the second best defensive rating team in the NBA. I don't even know how that's possible with Boogie Cousins and John Wall as your anchors, and Eric Gordon. Silas is doing a great job with that group. I could really see a scenario where the Grizzlies actually end up finishing third.
All right. So we've got an over and we've got an under. I'm probably going to go under as well, though it will be like 45%. I think that the Dallas has the best potential, and they may probably have the most incentive to make a move at the trade deadline. And I also think that Houston is pretty legitimate. And at the end of the day, I do think that Christian Wood may right now be the most impactful player between, when you look versus the Grizzlies and the Rockets, even in the conversation with Ja Morant among those two rosters. So I think Houston, I don't know if they're like a top four team right now in the West, but I think they're going to be stout competition. All right, Justin, we'll start with you on this one. Over under 50%, the Grizzlies finish with a 500 or better record.
Can I take a push? It's 500 or That's better? Fine. 500 or better?
Yeah.
I'll take the over on that. I think they can finish at 500, especially if they get their guys back. The way they're playing right now, I don't see why they can't play 500 basketball the rest of the way, because it's with the pandemic, the way the things are going, you're going to get cancellations, guys are going to be out. Guys are going to rest. They're going to continue to rest against us because they don't take us serious. I'll take the over on that.
Ben?
If I'm picking them to win the division, I have to say over on this. I just think, like I said, I think they're playing really good basketball. And, yeah, I do see where y'all are coming from on Houston and Dallas. It's just I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, the way they've been playing, recency bias, more or less, with the way the Grizzlies have been playing. But I'm going to say over on finishing over 500.
All right. And I'm going to go – I'm going to be right at 50% push. I think that they finished the season at 36-36 as of right now. I know that means they're playing three games under 500 the rest of the way, but I think also something that unfortunately may play into the Grizzlies, you know, against them a bit is that, you know, we now have that, you know, February 17th game against the Thunder, for instance, in which we play like five games in 8 nights or something like that. You're going to get some of these stretches where with the Grizzlies having to make up some of their postponed games, it's going to get tight on the schedule a little bit, and that may cost us a few games as we go towards the end of the season, but I'll go 500. All right, so the fun one. 50% or better, over under. The Grizzlies get a playoff win this season. Not a playoff. They don't win a playoff round. They win a playoff game this season. Ben.
Does a play-in tournament count?
No. It's the actual playoffs. That's considered the
actual playoffs this year.
The Grizzlies, we are considering that the Grizzlies win their play-in game if they get in that, and they win an actual playoff game when we have 16 teams in the playoffs. Ben, what do you think?
That's tough. I'm gonna have to go under 50% on that. I think there's four teams at the top of the West that are better than everybody else. And I don't know. The Grizzlies are going to make them play tough, but I don't see them actually getting a win.
So just to make sure the question's understood, if the Grizzlies make the playoffs, you think that there's probably a good chance they get swept against one of the top four teams in the West? You don't think they'll win at least one game in that series?
No.
That's fair. Justin?
Yeah, so to stay consistent with my two other answers, for them to be able to have a chance to get a win, they're going to have to be like the 5 seed playing the 4 seed. And even then, you're looking at Denver or Utah, or maybe even the freaking Clippers at that point. So I'm going to have to go under 50% confidence that the Grizzlies even get one win in the playoffs.
I'm going over, 100% over. I think that this team is going to – I think that one thing that is fueling this team, and you can put however much value you want into it, this team is scorched earth pissed that they missed the playoffs last year. That you ask them, and that's what they tell you. And they're playing like it. And they're playing with so many different factors that you can see consistently. This team, they're not great at any one thing. I don't think they're a top five defensive team in the league. I don't think they're a top 10 offensive team in the league. But they have the potential to be that on any given night, and even both of those on any given night. So they have so many different ways they can win. I think that not only gets them to the playoffs, but it comes together in at least one game where they make, you know, a first-round series go 5 or 6 games. I can see that happening this year. And as both of y'all have heard me say, I'm the guy who's been, you know, like others have been saying, I still feel missing the playoffs and getting that lottery pick, you know, makes a lot of sense. But I'm starting to be convinced that making the playoffs, regardless of anything, it's always been the best outcome for this team. I truly think with everything involved, with the potential this team has shown, it's the best outcome no matter what. So I'm going to go over, and I say they get a playoff win. And they do this record. Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, if they were scorched earth pissed that they didn't make the playoffs, how pissed off are they going to be if they get swept in the first round? I mean.
This is very true, but hey, at least you've taken that step forward. That you can say that when they exceeded expectations last year, taking that next step forward will certainly have done last year justice. Don't you agree? Justice?
I knew that was coming. Oh, my gosh. Get me off this podcast.
We're about to. Guys, it's been, all joking aside, it's been a ton of fun. I'm glad. I know that it was kind of last minute I reached out to y'all. Can't thank y'all enough for staying up with me and getting this done. But before we exit, want to make sure, I know there's ton of people across Grizz fandom that know y'all, but just where can they find you and what things do y'all might have coming up via 3&D? Do want to say this to both of y'all. Y'all have absolutely kicked ass in getting some guests every single week. So many talented people besides y'all two coming on that show. Great job to both of y'all on a great podcast. But, you know, Ben, we'll start with you. What do you have coming up and where can people find you?
We have the 3&D, both of us. We just recorded that. We'll have that coming up tomorrow. You can find me on Twitter @NotTheGolfer. I'll be doing report card for tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's game against Indiana as well. And just follow me on Twitter. That's really all I got right now. At Not the Golfer.
So here's my one question I've always wanted to ask you, Ben. So you're not the golfer, I know, but do you play golf?
I drive a cart around for 18 holes and swing at the ball. I don't know if many people would call it golf. It's pretty ugly.
So that answers my next question of, do you play golf well? I'll do you a service and not ask you that one. Anywho, Justin, where can folks find you at?
I am at J_TimberFake_. And yes, there is a story behind that, but I'm not telling it. And then the 3ND podcast, you can find us at 3ND pod on Twitter, and that will drop every single Tuesday. And I must say, I'm sitting here with my two co-hosts that I've had, and I've been lucky to have each of you. And, you know, Sean, you just mentioned that Grizzlies Twitter is familiar with both of us. Don't lie to me. Okay. Ben has a freaking blue check mark and I have 300 followers. Ain't nobody know who I am. All right. Why do you think I have to go get Bobby Marks? Because nobody knows who I am. They ain't gonna listen to my podcast.
Well,
hey, quantity.
Exactly. Both me and Ben can sit here and echo all day long, though I hate to do it, and I won't do it more than once in a given 6 months. You know what you're doing, and you're damn good at it. But it's not only what both of them do in the podcast. You can find all three of us writing stuff over at Grizzly Bear Blues. All three of us consistently, you know, I feel have great articles that come out contributing to a great, you know, family effort over at Grizzly Bear Blues. So just a lot of stuff going on, obviously, with Justin and Ben. Justin and Ben, if you'll stay with us, you know, once we get done here. But thank you guys so much and hope that y'all have a great start to February.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
They'll stick with us for just a second. But again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz. You can find myself at StatsSAC. The podcast, wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can also find the 3ND podcast and the Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network through all of those other places. A great lineup of podcasts over there. Core 4, The Starting Five, Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Of course, all the great content over at Grizzly Bear Blues as well. For Ben Hogan, Justin Lewis, my name is Sean Coleman. It's been a pleasure once again, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies Podcast.